Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
In 3, 2, 1.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Wondering, imagining, what have you seen this week that's wretched? Well, I wouldn't have to ponder such things if you'd simply send wretched things to idea@wretched.org. If you got questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, text away 877-282-2337. And if you do, throw an... I don't know why I'm talking like this either, because he's listening to every word. If you do send a text, send a well wish to Jimmy. Just got off the Zoom machine with him. He looks good. His color is good, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and still a little slow with the neck movement, but he's definitely recovering. So say something nice. Even in this instance, even if you have to lie, just something, anything nice to encourage the man. 877-282-2337. Dear Todd, this is a new one for you. This is a new one. This has got a twist on a current contemporary issue. My friend has a son who is married to another man. Still have to pause sometimes just to get reoriented to reality. A son who is married to another man. Well, we all know that's not possible, but we'll carry on. Being out of state, if he and his partner were to stay overnight at her house while visiting, she would have them sleep in separate bedrooms. So, would it be wrong for her to stay overnight in their spare bedroom at their house while visiting them as they sleep together in their bedroom? Don't you love 2026? Isn't it great to be in the 21st century? Oh, man. First of all, I would say this. It's absolutely going to be a conscience issue. If you think that it is a sin to do that, if you just can't do that, then absolutely don't do that. There are two considerations, though, that I think will inform whether you do that or not, whether you sleep in their house or not. You're just going to have to wrangle with 2 John 8, 9, 10. It was the custom in the first century that if you allowed somebody into your home, you were saying, I welcome this person, I affirm this person, I agree with this person, because you wouldn't bring an enemy into your home. And it was very culturally known that if you did that, you were affirming that person. Now, we don't necessarily have that today as strongly, but I don't think it's not anything. I don't even know that all of those negatives made it say what I wanted it to say. It could still say that. It could still communicate that by going into somebody's house or by inviting somebody in, what would the neighbors think? You do need to consider that. Now, you're going into somebody's house out of state. They don't know who you are. They don't know that you're a Christian. I'm not sure that would weigh much in my decision at that point, but it could. Third issue, I think that is worthy of your consideration. It's their house versus her house. I think that's a difference maker. By bringing somebody into your house, having them spend the night, it's your house, and you don't want to be in any way contributing to that. When you go to their house, they were going to be sleeping together anyway. I don't think that you're promoting their sin. I don't think you're facilitating their sin. You're just sleeping in the guest bedroom. So all that to say, my inclination, and please feel free to send a response. If you think I'm off on this, by all means, this is a new one. this is a different configuration. So correct me if you think I'm wrong. I think that I would personally, I can't tell you about my comfort level. I guess that would be a fourth consideration. Am I just comfortable with it? Not even conscience issue. Just am I comfortable with that? I might not be. But as far as do I think it would be a sin to? I don't think so. Could be wrong. Don't think so. But I would say, again, if it is for you, then you simply cannot do it because you never want to override your conscience. All right, there. I shared what I thought because this is my first time hearing this configuration of modern day living. Respond. Send a note. You can do it at idea@wretched.org, or you can text away to 877-282-2337 because this person isn't alone. So let's work through this. And if I need to be corrected, I mean, I can't imagine, but if you need to be corrected, you can tell me 877-282-2337. Hey, Todd, this is from Jonathan. I'm trying to nail down the definition of socialism and uses it as a springboard to share the gospel. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? That's being smart, thinking about a cultural issue, something that is the talk of the town these days, especially if your town is New York City. Hello, what in the world is going on there? How do I use that to springboard into the gospel? So here's his definition. Socialism regards someone else's success coming at your expense. That produces envy, which is breaking the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. You could obviously write paragraphs defining socialism. This is the mechanism that makes socialism work. So I might say, yes, you're not wrong in anything you say here, but I might say socialism is predicated on desiring other people's stuff that doesn't belong to you. The Bible actually addresses that in the 10th commandment, and then off you go. So I think, Jonathan, what you said, it's exactly right. I might just tweak it a little bit just for the sake of clarity, because it isn't that it's more the mechanism and the motivation of socialism, but the definition of socialism itself would be more along the lines of classes, property rights, hierarchy. This is what drives it, though. And you are so right, Jonathan. It is really driven on covetousness. So much of CRT these days, which is basically social Marxism, it is all driven on, you've got something I don't think you should have. I want it. Therefore, I'm going to take it or use a government mechanism to get it from you because that isn't fair. It is very much driven on greed. I'm thinking about Vodi Bakum right now. I think that he talked about this quite a bit. Don't you miss Vodi? It's simply driven by people who want other people's stuff. That would be a violation of the 10th commandment. This is sent in from, this makes me kind of sad, from Marshall, Minnesota. I've been to Marshall, Minnesota several times. This is from Darcy. I notice that even with the folks that come to agreement or realize they need Christ, there's just not a point where you pray for them, Todd, like a prayer of salvation or faith. May I ask you why that is the case? Is it just that this is a public area or on radio, etc.? From Darcy in Marshall, Minnesota. Now I'm trying to, is that where Blue Bunny Ice Cream is in Marshall, Minnesota? This is going to drive me bonkers. Or is it Tombstone Pizza? There's a food company, junk food company in Marshall, Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken. No, you're good observation, Darcy. I don't, even when it goes off. Now, that doesn't mean I won't pray with them, but you're right. I don't do a prayer of salvation. You can look through our archives. We've done a fair number of programs on this. Don't do that simply because it's not that people haven't been saved, because that they've been led in that. I don't think that people who do that are ill-intentioned. I just choose not to because I don't think it's necessary. I really don't. And the reason I don't is because I believe if the Holy Spirit, if we really believe that it is incumbent upon the Holy Spirit to do all of the regenerating work, they know what to do. Now, Now, it might be fumbly, but that's okay. It's better to have a broken heart and fumbly words than articulate words from a heart that isn't contrite. So I don't lead them through it because I think that they can just do it themselves. Now, you can coach them. Hey, talk to your God. If you are feeling like you need to be in a right relationship with him, that Jesus is real, he died for your sins, he rose again, and that you must repent and put your trust in him, and you've explained repentance and faith, then talk to God. Just talk to God. You don't need an intercessory prayer like me to lead you in it. You just talk to God. In fact, I think Ray Comfort has done this. Why don't you go ahead and talk to God and then I'll pray afterwards? Because then you get to hear what they were saying or not. You could pray for them. Lord, I pray that you would bless this person, that you'd open up their eyes and you would regenerate them, help them to understand the depravity of their own nature, that they might run to your beloved son, Jesus Christ. Could do that. But I don't like leading them in a prayer because it could more often than not, I think, facilitate a false conversion. And I don't want to be leading somebody in that. But if you want to learn more about why we don't do that, just go to thefortisplus.org and use the search engine, and you can find all the radio programs where we talk about not leading somebody in a sinner's prayer. This is Wretched Radio.
So your phone rings and there's a friend at church who just lost her husband. You want to help, but honestly, you don't know what to say. Or your son asks you what it means to be a man and you realize you've never really thought it through biblically. Or maybe there's someone at work who says anxiety is just a chemical imbalance and you're not sure how to respond, or even if you should. That's why Fortis Forums exist. This is real teaching on grief and marriage and mental health and manhood and more. And they're all available for you to view right now on Fortis Plus. These aren't feel-good devotionals. These are Christ-centered, scripture-saturated conversations that actually equip you for the moments that matter. You can download the Fortis Plus app right now, absolutely free of charge. You can download it on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. And the next time you don't know what to say, you might actually have an answer.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
You know, we've raised a generation of kids who can sing every word about Jesus, but they still can't say why the Bible is true. And the world, well, they've earned that because they've spent years teaching our children that truth bends and that science outgrew God. And the reasons are there: logic, morality, the very laws that make science work, and every single one of them points back to a creator. And when you give kids that, faith stops being something they hope is true and becomes something they know is true. And it also spreads because they share it clearer with everyone around them. That's exactly what the series Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle was built for. It's a biblical formation for a generation that needs answers. They need real ground to stand on, not just a good feeling, and that's what Dr. Lyle is doing. New episodes of Irrefutable Proof of Creation streaming right now and dropping weekly on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of Numbers tells the story of Israel's wandering in the desert for 40 years. The journey from Egypt to Canaan should have only taken 11 days, but Israel's grumbling and disobedience angered God, and none of the Israelites were allowed to enter the promised land. But God remained faithful and led their children into their inheritance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh boy, Another one. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you'll send stuff to idea@wretched.org. You can also text away to 877-282-2337. This is from Carrie. Hello. With the prayers of a woman married to another woman. You see, again, I just have to stop and recalibrate. Okay. They can't actually be married, but okay, got it. 21st century. Would the prayers of a woman married to another woman be answered? That's a little bit trickier than what meets the eye, but let's just deal with the meets the eye answer, no. Because the individual who is living an unrepentant sin, which would be a woman married to another woman, unless, of course, they've been regenerated and they're getting out of that, then sure. But their prayers would only be answered because they're in a right relationship with Jesus. You can utter 1,000 prayers without Jesus. And while God hears them, if you will, he doesn't hear them in that he has no obligation to respond to them, to honor them in any way, shape, or form, because an individual who is not in Christ is an enemy and their prayers have no power. Prayers have no meaning whatsoever. You need Jesus to make your prayers efficacious, and he is willing to do that if you are in Christ. So on the surface of it, the answer to this is absolutely not. Now, could it be that God, in his providence, he does what the person is praying for? Well, sure, that can happen, but it wouldn't necessarily, I don't think it would be because of the prayer. It would just be a providential occurrence. We need Jesus to have our prayers be effective. And I'm afraid somebody who's married to another woman and is unrepentant can't be in Christ. Speaking of praying, we're going to probably do this maybe next week, maybe the week after. There's a woman on the internet machine. She does shorts. And I've got to give her props. They're clever. She's talking to herself. She was a former evangelical who is now Roman Catholic. And she's trying to do videos to persuade other evangelicals to become Roman Catholic, basically to show, hey, we basically believe the same stuff you do, but we just happen to be the church that goes all the way back to Peter, which is interesting. I was thinking about Peter because I don't know if I've mentioned lately, we're in 1 Peter at Alpharetta Bible Church. Where in the Bible does it indicate that Peter has a successor? Where in the Bible does it show the program for Peter picking? What is the process for that? Doesn't that need to be in the Bible to know that we're supposed to do it and how we're supposed to be picking a successor? Furthermore, why did Peter, his strongest term, his the term that he used for himself that was the most elevating was apostle. He called himself 1 Peter 1:1 an apostle. Now that office had authority and he spoke from that authority. In 1 Peter 5:5, he mentions that Peter, a fellow elder, calls himself a fellow elder, fellow pastor, like I'm just like you. I'm an elder just like you are. Now he does say who was an eyewitness to the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And that's a hint that he's appealing to his apostolic authority. But consider what he calls himself in 2 Peter 1, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Why didn't he could have just laid it down. I, the vicar of Christ, am telling you. Didn't do that. There are so many names, by the way, for the Pope. I just find them stomach churning because they're just, oh, the vicar of Christ on earth. The father of kings and queens. Just so blasphemous. Peter never laid down those titles for himself because he didn't have that title and he knew it. And he called himself a fellow elder and a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing to indicate that there's any sort of plan of succession where his whatever authority that he has gets passed down to the next guy. That system was developed centuries later. This woman trying to persuade people, Roman Catholics just like you, and we'll do this one day. We're going to play through some of her clips because they're pretty popular and it's instructive. And I think it's a lesson in listening. Because if you're not really thinking about what she says, you'd go, oh, well, okay, that seems pretty reasonable. So for instance, and this is the synapse that fired in my brain that has us here based on the question of a woman married to another woman's prayers being answered. She was talking to herself saying, hey, but you guys pray to Mary. Yeah, we do, of course. But that's no different than you asking a friend to pray for you. And then she moves right on. Wait a second. Hold on. There is a difference. You see, asking a friend who's alive to pray for me is different than praying to a dead woman to ask her to pray for you. See the difference there? You're asking versus praying. One is alive, the other one is dead. Furthermore, another component that's missing, and that is where she's really clever. She leaves out a lot of stuff. So in this instance, she says that we just are talking to Mary like we talk to a friend, asking her to pray for us. Oh, no, no. It's more than that, because you see, Mary has favor. And she uses that favor to persuade her son, who otherwise wouldn't be persuaded by your prayers. That just should make your stomach just be filled with acid. It should gurgle. Oh, Jesus loves to hear our prayers. Our prayers are efficacious because of Jesus. He is the one who, if you will, has favor. He is the one who makes our prayers right. And we are to cast our cares not upon Mary, but upon the God who cares for you. Their whole system is just so, and this woman is so deceptive because of what she leaves out and doesn't explain or just kind of quickly glosses over, and it can be very persuasive to somebody who's just not listening well. For instance, one of them, she said, hey, you, she's talking to herself, remember, but you don't believe in grace alone. Well, at the very beginning of the Mass, you guys don't repent or something like that. And she said, well, no, at the very beginning of the Mass, we say this prayer that Jesus, because of you, I ask for forgiveness or something like that. So see, we do believe in that. Clever, except for all of the dogma that is piled on top of that statement, which is all of the works that you have to do to maintain your salvation. They leave those little details out. This woman is clever. Gotta tell you, she's clever. Gotta listen carefully, because she's an artist at saying what she thinks that will persuade Protestants to become Catholics by leaving out the details. Gotta listen well when you listen to the internet. Idea at wretched.org or 877-282-2337. This is from Michelle. Hi, Todd and Jim. You had to bring him up. I'm okay. I've noticed a couple of clocks on the Wretched TV set. I've noticed the analog clock many times, and that it's not keeping current time. Yeah, because it's battery operated and we just got tired of changing the batteries. And besides that, the program airs at different times, so it would be off, because just different networks aired at different times. And by the way, if you're one of those networks, shout out. Thank you. It seems stopped at 10:25. Then I noticed the vintage digital alarm clock was stopped at 3:16, which meant you're probably purposely trying to represent Bible verses like John 3:16. So I just went through my Bible. And by the way, you're right. I think my daughter set it for 3:16 because we had to set it on something. So you're correct. That was an Easter egg. But I looked for 10:25. Is it Hebrews 10:25 about not forsaking the assembling of the saints? No, it wasn't. We just set it at something. But that would be an excellent one, wouldn't it? Because I keep running into people, I think I mentioned this earlier this week, who just don't think that they need to be in church. Yes, you do. You really, really do. Hello, writes Ashley. I'm considering using one or more of the Road Trip to Truth seasons with my son during his senior year of homeschooling. That's a really good call. I'm not kidding. I would like him to work through seasons 2 to 4 over the course of the year. What's wrong with season 1? I love season 1. Season 1 spends a lot of time dealing with the issue of truth, postmodernism, etc. Nevertheless, he's going to work through it. What are some of the ways you recommend using the series in a homeschool setting? Well, you could accompany it with other source. You could pick the subjects, because there's 52 episodes, 52 different subjects. You could get other books that dive deeper into the subject. But might I recommend this? I think this is fully worth a credit. Talk through each episode with your son. Talk through it. I have seen this countless times. When you show an episode of Road Trip to Truth, the kids are hearing conversations about things that they're talking about seeing on the internet that usually aren't discussed in Sunday school or youth group. And wow, do they open up. And you can use Road Trip to find out what's going on in the heart of your child. What does he believe about truth? What does he believe about postmodernism? What does he believe about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ? What does he believe about genders? All of those subjects, they'll just be open up, obviously presented from a biblical standpoint. And then you can really just coach him through, teach him, use all of the Bible verses that we use inside of the series to shore up his Christian worldview before he graduates, potentially runs off to university and gets slammed by secularism. It's available for free with the study guide. By the way, you can use the study guide too at FortisPlus.org, courtesy of our gospel partners. This is Wretched Radio.